John chapter 21, beginning at verse number 15. Verse number 15. The Bible says, so when they had dined, the they there is talking about Jesus and his disciples, that he fed them, of course, fish there on the bank after the disciples had been out on the sea. And it says, after they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Let's pray. We give you thanks this morning, Heavenly Father, for the reading of your word. We thank you for this precious, this wonderful portion of your word. And help us today. Father, I pray today. My prayer is twofold. Father, I pray that I will be able to help this church with this message. And then secondly, Father, I pray that this church will want the help. Help us today, Lord, to not only be here simply out of custom and habit, but help us to be here today hungry for the truth of your word. Lord, help us today to understand what the main thing of the Christian life is all about. Help us, Lord, to focus on that. And help us to understand if we can really get that right, then everything else will fit into place. So, Father, now bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this final chapter of the book of John here records a conversation between Peter and the Savior. As we know, Peter had previously disappointed the Lord with his three denials. And we find him being asked three times in this chapter, lovest thou me? Peter's three denials are now matched with the question asked three times about his love. He said more than these. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? The question comes up, who are the these? Or what is would be the these? Well, perhaps it could be this. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than the fishing boat? Because after all, you went back fishing. You went back to fishing. Do you love me more than the boat, the fish, the equipment, the things? Or it could have been, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? And I tend to feel like that perhaps that's the content of that probing question, and here's the reason why. Peter had previously spoken his commitment even if others denied him. You remember now in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. So comparing that verse with this statement here, I tend to think that Jesus maybe is asking Peter, do you really love me more than these disciples love me based upon that previous commitment that you had once made? and you had obviously failed to keep because you had denied me three times. Peter was told here, then in this portion of Scripture, to follow the Lord. You know, I never cease to be amazed at how wonderful God's Word is. I never cease to be amazed at how every time you read it, if you look hard enough, you see something else. Not that there's any new revelation. But the Holy Spirit has a way of refreshing the Word of God every time you read it. Here's something that I find to be rather interesting, amazing, consoling, challenging, and yes, above all, a great blessing. Peter had followed the Lord while he was upon this earth. Jesus is now saying to him, follow me, including after I'm ascending back to heaven. Now keep in mind, this is the last chapter of John, and keep in mind that it will not be too long till Jesus will ascend back to heaven. So Jesus, as much as saying, Peter, you followed me during the time I've been upon this earth. Now will you follow me when I go back to heaven? Though he would no longer see him, still yet he would follow him. The point being, as we apply that to us today, you and I follow, Christian, you and I follow the risen Christ. We follow the risen Lord. You see, today, there is a thought here that I think permeates everything else. I believe this morning, in looking at this passage of Scripture, I believe there's one main point that needs to be pointed out. When I think of the Christian life, we can talk about all of the different things that we do. We can talk about all of the activity involved. We can talk about the ministries of this church. We can talk about the things that we individually involve ourselves in terms of ministry activity. But there's one main thing. If this one main thing is in order, I truly believe everything else will fit in place. I believe there is a main thing. A main thing. You say, preacher, what is that main thing? Is it your preaching? Is it my teaching? Is it my serving? What is that main thing? Is it my singing in the choir? Is it my being an usher? Is it teaching the Sunday school class? Is it serving on the deacon board? Is it being a trustee? Is it being a pastor? What is the main thing? I want to answer very quickly and say to all of us this morning, that is not the main thing. Our function is not the main thing. And I hope that we can see that this morning. We need to focus on the main thing if we're to be the right kind of a follower. Jesus said a lot of things before he got to the point to where he told Peter, follow thou me. He went through several things. He didn't start out by saying, Peter, follow me. No, no. He says, follow me, after he'd already said a lot of other notable things. We can look around us today. We see many people who are followers. We see many people following something or somebody. The question needs to be asked today, however, what are we following? Or more importantly, who are we following? We all would say we're followers. But the important question is, who are we following or what are we following? Now, some people follow things that are quite questionable. Some people follow agendas. Some people follow ideas. Some people follow people. Some people follow pastors. Some people follow heroes. But now, there's something wrong about that. When it comes to Christian activity, Christian ministry, this thing of following, we need to get it right. We need to get it right. This great final chapter gives an outline thought. I had read it many times. I have preached it many times. But I was amazed this morning when I began to read this, how there is an outline thought that feeds Jesus getting to the point to where he told Peter, "Follow thou me." Here's what I noticed. I noticed three words. At least I'm thinking of three words that start with an F. Feeling, feeding, and following. Feeling, feeding, and following. Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" That's feeling. He said, "Feed my sheep." Then finally he says, "Follow me." So I'm saying today, the thing of feeling, and I'm talking about the feeling that is right. Lovest thou me? When you love someone, you have feeling towards that someone. When we love someone, we are feeling good, kind. There is feeling involved. There is emotion involved. We are feeling something. The idea, lovest thou me, and I'll go ahead and tell you up front, that's the main thing. Lovest thou me. You know, the idea that I'm talking about is somewhat like an entrance exam. It's like applying for a college degree. It's like applying for application in a college. You take the entrance exam. I see this as somewhat of an entrance exam. Let me call it this. Let me call it the love test. The love test. Lovest thou me? I believe if we pass that test, I believe we'll make it. Too many times, too many churches, too many people are simply built around activity. They're built around what I do. They're built around ministry. They're built around the different things that we do within the church, and we begin to define spirituality as function. Not altogether correct. Lovest thou me? We need to pass the love test first. It needs to begin there. This keeps us going when nothing else will. This keeps us motivated when nothing else will. This keeps us engaged when everything else bottoms out around us. This keeps us faithful serving God. This keeps us faithful in the ministry. This keeps us faithful in gear when other people are flying the coop. And by the way, you see that everywhere you look in this day and time. The love test. Lovest thou me. I quite frankly have found Jesus easy to love. Have you ever wondered, why do we love someone? What is it about a person that makes us love them? Several things. For one thing, there is a relationship with that person. And I want to say this morning, to love Jesus, you first of all got to be related through salvation. You can't love the Lord if you don't know Him. Then, let's talk about love among one another. Why is it we're drawn towards people? Why do we love people? We could talk about maybe commonality. We could talk about the fact that that person loves me, or that person cares about me, or that person has an interest in me. That person is kind. So therefore, we find it easier to love that person. I was thinking this morning, how do you know that Jesus loves you? Some would say, I know He loves me because what He has given me, but what many times they're meaning is what He has given me physically. For example, I know He loves me because He's given me health. I know He loves me because He's given me a job. I know He loves me because He's given me an income. I know He loves me because He's enabled me to get through a bad time recently in a hospital. Is that the top way of our knowing that Jesus loves us? I believe it goes a little bit higher than that. I believe He loves me because He gave Himself to me. I believe He loves me because He gave me eternal life. I believe He loves me because He gives me joy. I believe He loves me because He's blessed me with things far more important than material things. I believe He loves me for those reasons. I've never witnessed a time where disloyalty is so rampant among the people of God. I talk to preachers, and my heart is broken. I talk to preachers, and they tell me the same thing. People who give testimony of being saved for many years just quit. They show up missing. You wonder where they are. It's breaking the hearts of gospel preachers. It's hurting the ministry of churches. It's discouraging the people of God who are faithful. It's taking its rank, or it's taking a toll among the people of God. I've come to believe that success in passing the entrance exam, success on the love test, will keep us going when all others go berserk. I believe that if we get it right on the love test, I believe that we can make it when others are dropping like flies all around us. And you see it? What's the main thing? Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? A preeminent love for the Lord, while others may not love Him, will keep us faithfully following Him. If we fail the love test, we fail the discipleship test. If we fail, lovest thou me, we fail in the test, follow thou me. It has to begin with our love for the Lord. By the way, we love Him because He first loved us. That goes a long ways. The question comes up, well, you talk about following me. You talk about following the Lord. How do I follow the Lord? Let me give you an answer, and I think it's a good one. How do we follow the Lord? That's a good question. Now, let me remind us this morning of some Bible verses that I think will give us a good understanding of the answer to that question, how do I follow the Lord? Now, remember this. It was to that same disciple Peter that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, brings up an interesting subject. Peter said, thou art Peter, or Jesus told Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon this rock, Jesus told Peter, I will build my church upon myself because He is the rock. Jesus is the rock. The church is built upon Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. I'm talking about the organism more than the organization. But by the way, New Testament Bible churches such as the Smith Grove Baptist Church should be a miniature reflection of the body of Christ in its attitude, in its actions, in its vitality. It should be a miniature reflection of the body of Christ. It is not without significance that Christian service was carried out. And I challenge you to read your Bibles and you'll see what I'm saying. It's not without significance that Christian service was carried out through commitment and involvement through local churches. Read the book of Acts. You find the historical beginning of local churches. You discover the missionary journeys of Paul as Paul went here and there and established local churches, and churches sprung up called Corinth, called Ephesus, called Philippi. Local churches. You then find that activity was in and through local churches. It's the local churches that form the hub of Christian ministry in every way. It's local churches that send out missionaries. It's local churches that send out evangelists. It's local churches that is the actual hub of all of the facets of Christianity. If you had no local church, you would basically have nothing in terms of ministry expansion. That's why, and here's a leading point, that is why that Christians recognize that following the Lord is primarily demonstrated through commitment in and through Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches such as the Smith Grove Baptist Church and all other ones that preach the gospel. You can talk the talk all you want to. You can say, I can worship God sitting down on the lake or in the mountains or here, there, or the other, and thank God for vacations. We take them, we need them, and I encourage them. But there is absolutely no substitute for commitment in and through the local church. I say to every one of us today, when we joined this church, it was not something we casually did without significance to where we said it's going to look nice if I become a member of the Smith Grove Baptist Church. No, you signed your way into a commitment. And that's why some people won't join. I believe this morning that our church, and I say this with tears practically when I say this, I believe that our church would go further down the road of progress if all of those within this church would recognize that loving the Lord is number one, but let that love follow through with your commitment in and through the local church that God's led you to join. People need to be here when they can. Amen. Teachers need to be, everyone in positions. We can talk about teachers, we can talk about deacons, and thank God Brother Kirk here, if any man has his limitations, he can't come because you see Brother Kirk in a wheelchair. We all understand things like that. But every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every person that plays instruments, whether it's piano, whether it's organ, myself included, we that have leadership positions in this church ought to be setting the very first example by being here. It's mighty quiet now, and I hope that means you're thinking and praying. But when we get it right in our leadership, in terms of reflecting the fact, I love the Lord, and I love Him so much, I'm loving His program. I'm loving His church. I'm loving His people. And by the way, it goes from feeling. Think about it now. It goes from feeling. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Then it goes to feeding. Feed my sheep. We all are feeders. Not just public pulpit ministry. Not just podium classroom teaching. We're to be feeders. Feeding each other. Edifying each other. Counseling each other. Being here for each other, nurturing each other. The loving needs to lead to feeding. Too many people, all they want to do is eat. Now, by the way, don't take what I'm saying wrong with this thing of feeding. Here's not talking about you doing the feeding and you doing the eating. It's talking about you feeding someone else. Feed my sheep. If we pass that love test, then it'll move on to that feeding thing. And then we certainly will be following the Lord. Feeling, feeding, following. Now again, we come back to the point here. Passing the love test sustains passing the discipleship test. Following me, it begins with love. Loving the Lord will mean loving the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Shouldn't we? If we love it, we'll support it. Really, when you stop and think about it, and here's my point. When Christian service has to be legislated, it's flawed. It's flawed. If a preacher has to browbeat someone to serve the Lord, it's only mechanical. Your service is mechanical. My job is not to browbeat anybody. My job is to teach the Scriptures and hopefully through prayer that we all will fall in love with Jesus and love Him and love one another, and we'll find ourselves serving because we love Him. If people say, well, I'm going to start doing these things because the preacher's preached a sermon about it, I'd much rather the Holy Spirit preach a sermon to the heart. And we realize it really boils down to love relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just like this. You can't make someone love you. You can't. Love is a natural response to things being met that brings that to pass. You can't say, you're going to love me. I'm going to make you love me. No, they begin to love you as you love them, as you care about them, as you develop a relationship with them. Then that love fits into place. Preachers can't legislate Christianity. We can't make people be here, attend church. Last time I checked, the way a church is organized and set up, you don't have to come. I'm not contradicting what I just said, but there's nothing in the regulation that says you've got to be here. But let's go at it from another angle. What about, I don't want to be here, or I don't have to be here, but I want to be here. And I want to be here because I love my Lord. And I love His organization. I love the fact the book of Acts teaches it. I love the fact that churches like this church here called a pastor to preach, to edify, to build up, and to encourage. Really love the Lord, it'll work out. Interesting, but Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? Then he went on to say, feed my sheep. Then he went on to say, follow me. We preach this. We preach, do the basics. Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, tithing, witnessing. But do they fall back on the love test? Do we do those things because we're told to do them, or do we do them because, well, they're biblical and I love the Lord and I know the Lord wants me to. It'll please Him. It'll make God happy. So I'm going to do them, not because the preacher said to do them, but because the preacher's teaching that and it's taught in Scripture, and then I'm going to combine the fact that I love my Lord and I just want to please my Savior, and that's why I'm going to do them. I hear of churches having splits, Christians fighting each other, often people dropping out of churches, sometimes never returning. And I understand why some Christians maybe get turned off and stay away from churches. They go to some churches, they see nothing but fighting and feuding and power struggles and things like that. They conclude, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything of it. Oh, God, help us that know the Lord to set the example, to turn that around. You know why that happens? Here's why it happens. I've been around the block now several years, and I've learned churches pretty well. I know this. Whenever you see success and victory, you better not put your tent pegs down too deep, because the devil doesn't like it. And he'll disturb it if he can. But here's what I've noticed. The reason why you have divisions in churches is there are people jockeying for power many times. Some want control. Some people want to be the big cheese. Here's the problem. Too many people love self. Too many people love power more than they love the Lord. but lovest thou me? I've always wondered why people jockey for power in churches. Do they understand what they're doing? Do they realize that along with power comes responsibility? Do they realize that when a person grabs power, that makes him accountable to God? The best thing we can do is just fit within the scheme work of what God designed for the local church. Let the pastor lead. Stay in your own lane. Love people. Be kind to people. Love God's people because God loves them. By the way, you'll know, they'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. You know what's missing today in so many churches? Love. Love. Reason why we fail the love test with individuals, we failed the love test with the Lord. Let me say this again, and I'm saying it out of nothing but love and care for my church. Every one of you today ought to be able to go to anyone else in this church and put your arm around them and say, I love you. And I appreciate what you're doing. And another thing too, what right does any person have to be sanctimonious and hypocritical like someone else? Boy, they really made a major mistake. They're a goner. I'll just dump them off of my list. And you fail to look in the mirror many times and realize you have as many inconsistencies in your life and flaws in some way as that other person has. But I believe that love covers a multitude of sins. I believe if we'll go to people and still be kind to people and love people and nurture people and start feeding people. Like love should be the feeding should be the byproduct of love. We're placed here to be feeders. It's not a control issue. It's being here feeding one another. The main thing is to love Him. Love Him. I've got to hurry here. Quickly, three things considered, I'm done. Three things in following the Lord and loving the Lord. Wake up to the number one priority. Love the Lord. Secondly, don't have time to develop it, but I'll just give it to you. Weed out your own garden. Verse number 21, Peter seeing him. That's John saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? I love it. Weed out your own garden. Peter, quit trying to decide what John needs to do. You do what Peter needs to do. You work on your own case. You weed your own garden. You stay out of someone else's garden. You worry about the weeds that's in your own garden before you start thinking about someone else's garden. Number one, wake up to the number one priority. Lovest thou me. Weed out your own garden. And thirdly this morning, weigh the consequences of your action. Loving the Lord, feeding the sheep, following the Lord results in others being blessed. It results in a stronger, better church. It results in a church where people can come into the church building and say, I'm loved in this building. But when anyone sees any strife going on, they sense it in a heartbeat. Loving. It results in well done, thou good and faithful servant. It results in gold, silver, precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ. The main thing today is love the Lord. Love the Lord first. And then let God use you to feed others. And above all, keep on following the Lord. Let's pray.